Hey everyone, in this chapter I sit down with Memphis. We have a very real conversation. I hope you see a new side to him. And if you want to see the video version, you can find it on my YouTube channel. Enjoy. Memphis.
How is it, brother?
How are you? How are you really doing? I always like to start, and I always like to explain that the most common question we ask people when every day we move around is, how are you, how are you? And everyone's like, oh, I'm fine, I'm great. And then I'll tell you why I'm asking this question, actually. And for the people who never knew why I asked this question, is because I saw Jim Carrey walking on the red carpet. And then this presenter comes to him and he's overexcited. He's like, oh, Jim, nice to have you. It's something like that. And he's like, so Jim looks at him and he's like, how are you? And he's like, I'm great. And he's like, no, really, how are you? And he's like, I'm tired. So, and then he's like, you see? Right. So right. I like to ask that question, but actually listen.
Yeah.
And actually the person has to know that you actually care. Because most people are like, I'm good.
And the most of the person will even ask you, they don't even care. You know?
Exactly.
They want to just ask it, and that's how it goes. But
how are you? So how are you really doing?
I'm going to tell you how I feel. I feel good. I feel grateful. I feel happy. And that's not what a lot of people expect now from me, because I'm injured. But I'm a big injury. Yeah. But I'm on my way back. I can do everything. I can walk. You know, I'm very grateful. I feel good.
You have an interesting name, Memphis. Very not typical or common.
Right.
How did that happen?
Good question, man.
Do you even
only
know?
Good. Yeah. Well. Obviously, the city in Egypt, Memphis. You have the water, the river, the Nile. Going through there, and you know, the story in the Bible where who was it, Moses, I think, something to do with that. And then my grandparents from my dad, they were slaves in Mississippi, Memphis, but you know, they are very powerful people, so it has something to do with that.
There's a lot of history then.
Yeah, a lot of, and too much for me, to be honest.
Do you like the name?
I love the name, you know, I'm proud of it. And
yeah.
I've never been to the city though. I have to go to the city in Egypt and in America.
Okay. I read a bit about you last night. Yeah, I did my homework last night. And I read that you became professional very young. I think at 12 you got the first offer, right? 12 years old, you got an offer, but then you waited maybe a year for PSV, if I'm not
mistaken. Yeah, I changed club when I was 12, but you know, then they cannot hand me a contract. It's illegal.
Because you're young, yes.
Yeah, so.
But you had
but
to.
I changed. Yeah.
You had to go, I think, far, right? Every
yeah,
day.
I mean, it by car it's an hour and a half, something like that. But you know, with the train, just the process, waking up, going to school, training, coming back. I would leave the house at 6 a.m. and come home 8:30 p.m. So I decided to, me and my mom that time, because I was 12, to go over there.
And you'd go alone?
I was going in a farmer family, or a foster family, my bad.
So you stayed there?
So I stayed there because I was getting exhausted, you know. It was getting too much for me to travel. But I still wanted I wanted to come back home sometimes. So I told my mom, you know, you can stay here, because she had also work. So I told her, I want you to stay here. I will go there and you know, become a professional football player. I had no doubt I was going to become one.
But Memphis, how does it be to be in such a young age, but then you have to become quickly an independent person or semi-professional, we'll call, because then you become professional. But this is kind of like a job at a very young age.
Yeah, it's very, you have to be very dedicated, you know. You have training every day, and sometimes even morning trainings and afternoon training. So two sessions a day at such a young age. But you love it that much that you are, you feel tired, but you don't really feel it. You're very excited to be
passionate.
Yeah. And I had always that drive in me to be one of the best. So the school part I didn't really like, but I was like, I have to go through it because I want to train. And I mean, the way I've been raised, I always had to be like kind of independent. You know, my mom became single mom when I was 4, so that way.
Divorce, you mean?
Yeah. That way, there missed something. There's something missing in the household, obviously, with the dad, and my mom had to do both roles. Have to play both roles, but you know, with a strong character, she was exhausted. Because I had such a strong character at a young age, so I would stay on the street till late, play football. But you know, what happens in the street, like back home, is not only playing football. So I became a grown person in my head very quick at a young age.
Okay, so you gave me a few curious things that I want to ask. Because for me, Memphis, these interviews are not about me and you. They're about the lonely kid who's going to watch it. It's about the passionate kid who wants to be something. It's about a troubled child or a teenager. You know, I want people to know the human person or side of an individual. So you said, which is a very common thing, to be in a single parent house. Yeah. It's very common. Mm-hmm. You know, you see it very much in a lot of celebrities, a lot of artists. But you said that there was a gap. So when there's a gap, you have to assume maybe the adult. You're not a kid. You have to be responsible, or maybe you have to earn money. And how was that for you to fill that gap? Did you actually fill it, or it was just empty?
Nah, I must give praise to my mom. She did a really good job. You know, couldn't complain. We were just below middle class, probably. I cannot complain about that. It was just more that after a while, my mom couldn't handle me no more because my character, I think. And that was difficult for her. Sometimes you need a dad that, you know, puts you in your place. I think that was what I felt. So I took advantage of it, of course, as well. Like, okay, I stay up late or I stay outside late and I had older friends. And you see a lot of celebrities or a lot of people that become something, they don't have the best, or there are always some stories where they grow up without a dad, or you know, some struggles in their life, but they become very strong personalities and characters in the end of the day because of the struggle. So you know, yeah.
Would you say that you're angry at your father for leaving?
No, because I didn't come that far yet to talk about it, but now we cool, you know? I'm older. At the age of 22, I think 23, I forgave him. Like, he's not a bad guy. He just don't take his responsibility, and he, you know, he knows that, and I was for a very long time angry. Because obviously you get those questions a lot in interviews if you play football, and people were even like making jokes about it, you know, fans from other teams. But on the end of the day, it's like, I think I know how to become a real good dad now when I become one day, hopefully.
Yeah.
But he showed me what I have to do, what I not have to do.
To be a good dad.
Exactly. And now we cool, you know. It's more for him, you know. He missed this bond what I say. If I look in the mirror, I can say I'm very, you know, glad with myself, a proud person. So he missed out on that. A lot of beautiful things.
You said, Memphis, in one of your interviews that, and you kind of said it now, that you were a troubled kid.
Yeah.
What does trouble? It's a very big word. What is trouble?
Aggression. I was aggressive. misunderstood.
Till now, I think.
Until now, yes, definitely. Dealing with a lot of emotions that you don't know where to put, so you keep it inside until it explodes. That becomes like a war inside of your head, and that's trouble.
And would you say that football saved you? That you put all of that aggression in the sport?
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Because I see a lot of, I'll call them artists, whether a painter or a singer or an athlete, that they would say they're so lucky that they found something, or they would have been lost. You would have been in a gang or in jail or whatever, but because they found something to put all of their focus in, they didn't fall for the streets.
Right.
Would you say this applies to your story?
Yeah, it's common sense, like a lot of people say it, but it has some truth. There's a truth in it. On the end, like, we never know because it didn't came that far. But I still have, I know people that are in gangs or that gang relate or that messed up their potential. Or in my case, it really helped me. It helped me to be active. So football, obviously, all the adrenaline, all the power you release, and then you feel after that you feel tired, but you feel happy. I was always happy if there was a ball around. So I can't say that, you know, it keeps you off the street, keeps you from
getting in trouble.
Yeah, getting in trouble, because in the neighborhood there's always some people that getting in trouble. So I must say I was clever, because I've done things that could bring me in a lot of trouble, but I don't know, I feel like God always, he was always with me and till this day. And I knew sometimes when the right moment to pull out and to, you know, oh, that's not for me, you know.
How's your relationship with your mom?
It was funny, man. I was talking about it at the table with lunch with my friends. I think it's good. I think that it became stronger during the last 2 years. She calmed more down. I wrote a book. She was part of it, so I'm very, you know, grateful about that she opened up, because I think that was for her a release of a lot of pain, traumatized and all that stuff. So I'm very proud of her. I think the relationship still can be better. I think I have to work on some, maybe communicating things, and she have to work about, think more stuff, like overthinking, worry about the wrong things. You know, it's hard. It's hard, but I'm happy for where we are right now.
You're trying.
Yeah, no, we definitely
try. I feel, you know, Memphis, I met you very recently, but we clicked. I think it's right. Good energies, you know? And I would never, like, I think anybody meeting you would never think you're angry or crazy. You're very, like, calm, very composed, even soft-spoken.
Right.
Unless somebody reads between the lines or knows a bit about you, like your friends would know you. They know you from before until now. But somebody will meet you for the moment, they're like, oh, this guy is so chill.
I am.
And I think you reached there. You reached this new level.
Or you can say I reached the level again, because I feel like I was a loving child when I was a baby. And during the period that I grew up, a lot of things happened that, you know, a person is always away because something happened, you know. If something's gonna damage a person, it will change his way of looking at people or trusting or the way he's moving, or it will, his character, you know. And it took me a long time to be that open again.
To come back.
Yeah, and to love people, because I really want to share just love, and I'm cool, you know, and I wish everybody always the best. Like, I'm open for new people, even like I see maybe sometimes quiet. I'm very chill, but yeah, you can't reach that spot where, you know, the anger come, but who wants that? Like, I don't want that. I don't want to be angry for what?
Hmm.
It's
You also had Memphis, I think they call it a mental or life coach.
Mm.
Very early, which I was impressed.
Oh, this guy saved my life, man.
Yeah, we need to talk about that guy. What's his name?
Yoast.
Okay, so
Yoast.
Is what I find interesting is in our region, we don't take mental health seriously yet.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we are starting to, mm-hmm. right? That people talk about depression, about suicide, about a lot of things, bipolar, you know, hormones, and all right. of these things that nobody was talking about, anger management. Now, before, if you say that, they're like, come on, you know, just have Panadol and sleep, you know, like, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Or go play games. Or
right.
They'll always dismiss. But you started that at a very young age. So my first question is, how, maybe at that age, a lot of people are like, what are you doing? Why do you even need this? You're too young. So how would you take that step to say, no, I actually need it?
It's not that I said I need it. The club.
The club?
The club, PSV.
Okay, interesting.
So
they did you a favor.
Huge favor. You know, I'm always grateful for them. I gave it them definitely back in winning, you know, the championship and all that stuff. But they were the ones that said, yo, he has such a great potential, but this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so then Yoast, the Dutch guy, he came to the front and we had a meeting, actually a very sad meeting. It was all grown people on the table and me, my mother, the director of the club, him, the parents of my foster family, and then a kid from 12, and they were like talking about all the bad stuff that I did. And then he pulled me away from the meeting, and we started to talk, and he said to me, this is a shit meeting. I said, yeah, it's very bad. And he started to work with me, and I opened up, and yeah, he definitely got me out of a lot of trouble or potential trouble. And it was first obviously work, but the older I got, he was like a lot of personalities for me, from just somebody I work with to like a father figure almost, to like a very good friend now. Obviously, mm. I'm at this age where we communicate different, and also he helped with my book, but top guy. I'm very, very grateful for him.
If I want to understand, because you make it sound like you were a handful, like you had a lot of challenges, let's say. So just to understand the psychology, right? Is it because of bullying? Is it because of absence of father? Is it because of gangs? Is it like, what constitutes? Is it just in your genes? What is it? How do you become like that? Because you said, I didn't start that way.
Yeah,
I became.
So, you know, it's hard to talk about everything because I want people to read my book too, but I'm going to give you like a very good amount of reasons why. I've been damaged, you know. When my dad left at the age of 4, my mom fell in love with another man. A couple years later, when I was 8, and obviously I didn't have a voice to speak about, okay, decision making or whatever. And, you know, so they end up marrying, moved in. It's a very crazy story, you know, and to speak about it again is like, because when I wrote my book, you know, obviously when it's done, you have to read over it, and it was mentally, it was good to release, but when you start to read it back, it's hard. But so this man, he has multiple children with his ex. I'm talking about like 15, 18 children. He lived in a very big house around the corner from us. So we had normal street with houses, and then on the corner, this big house. And one day, I don't know, my mom fell in love with him. My mom is also such a good person that sometimes kids will come up to our house to play. I was friends with them, you know, and they had also a couple of kids. They didn't get like a lot of attention from people, so they will come up to my house and my mom will take care of him. So I don't know if she only fell in love with this guy or also felt like, oh, I need to serve because I think my mom is somebody who serves a lot of people. So moving into the house was obviously the biggest mistake of her life, and she regrets it till today, but I'm very glad she did it of the way I become. But during that year, like, I don't know, the kids start to turn on me because I don't know, my skin color or I don't know what the reason was, but obviously the people there, you had some kids that were 8, but you had 9, 15, you're different, they had brothers, sisters, so you can imagine if they turn around, what can I do? I can fight one, I cannot fight 4, 5. So it was a lot of abusing and a lot of violence in the house, you know, and my mom was scared to leave. Obviously, she saw me going down mentally, spiritually, everything. Like, there was nothing left of me because in the school I couldn't work no more. I was mentally just, it was a breakdown for me, I think. I didn't understand what was going on. So I think that damaged me a lot, and I think that way I became aggressive because I was getting into fights very quickly. So after 1 year, we kind of, one day we just left without saying anything. I don't know, my mom found the courage because I don't know why she didn't found it, but that's her story. And she found the courage to leave, so we left. And there was a lot of impact. My mom had to go into a mental hospital for 1 year, and I lived with my grandparents at the age of 10. And you know, at such a young age, all these things, it forms you as a person. Like, you be like, you know, I don't know, I don't want to curse here, but so I'm not going to.
No, you can. I always curse.
Okay.
Feel free.
You know, you as a human being, I was like, what the fuck? So how do I have to treat people? Or, you know, it's a normal thing to be physical and fight if somebody says something wrong. Or so my head wasn't in the right way, obviously. So, you know, I'm glad I had great grandparents, you know, that really are solid people. And I think my character tried to manage it real quick. And I had the ball, what I say, like, I forgot everything once I was at practice. Because even during that year where it was really dark, once I was in practice, I forgot everything.
Mm. So it wasn't only tough on you. Even your mother was maybe mentally abused or physically abused or
maybe
whatever.
I don't want to bring my thoughts there that she was physically abused. Definitely mentally. Kids start to turn to her, cursing in the baddest words towards her. They had like, so basically what I had, like a mental coach. They have like companies in Holland that work with kids. They had 4 people working inside the house, but they even couldn't handle it.
Still a jungle.
Yeah, it was a jungle. Exactly, it was a jungle. But I was the lion in the end. Not that I became a lion, but during that time, I was definitely nobody inside the household. Like, I fought one, but, you know, I would get my ass whooped. Just saying the words, you know, being racist and all that stuff, you know, it's like...
Words, bro, words are harder than punches.
Yeah.
They stick.
Yeah, definitely. You know, bullying, but... I think that's the reason that I changed, because I wasn't that before, but it took me a long time to
come back,
to recover.
Yeah. I'm glad, but it takes a lot also. Why did I ask about your mother? Not because I'm curious about her, but because I know your character a bit. And I think if you're the son that is feeling responsible because your father is not there, and you feel responsible for your mother, and then she makes an unwise decision, or she's struggling with the decision, or she's getting mentally abused, I know a bit of you, and I know that would kill you. You can say, like, I'll take this shit on me, but not for my mom. You know what I mean? Me, I can take care of me, but I don't want to see somebody I love suffer. So that's double. Not only you suffering, it's somebody you love suffering, exactly. And you can't do much about it because you're a kid.
Exactly.
So it's a very...
It's tough, man. It's tough because my mom was a very strong person, character. She's rebuilding still. She's 56.
Like my mom.
You know, I cannot do much about it than just, you know, support. And what I said, the book actually helped her to release all that, and she can be, the way she came out and we came out can be a very good example for people that go through a lot of shit, because, you know, it's heavy, but I'm not the only one, you know.
Correct.
A lot of people going through a lot of things, so,
and not everybody's strong.
Exactly. So I want to give them the courage, and I gave it with that. So I get a lot of messages from people that are in need, and somewhere we all in need for support, but definitely the people that are going through such traumatized situations, I want to connect with them or support them, or letting them know, like, yo, there is light in the end, and you just have to be very strong and pray, whatever, you know, your religion is, pray, ask God for help and courage and all these things, because I've seen a lot of dark days.
Yeah, I can tell. I think what you can do, Memphis, also with your mother, I think the book was a good idea, but that's one thing only. I think you said it already. You said, I'm working on communicating better and maybe expressing better. So the love that you have for her, which is obviously a lot, maybe it's this much, but you're showing her this much. I'm not talking about spending on her and taking, that's the easy part. I'm talking about loving her, calling her, hugging her, right? And going for dinner with her. I think that's what you should, I hope you're doing it, and you should always do. Because now you're at a very different stage. You're mature, you're calmer, you're strong, and you take care of your mental stuff. And it's like you said, it keeps building. It's not a switch. Now what you can do for your mother is to show her how much, you know, she means to you and love you. And because life is short, man. Even for seeing the Kobe Bryant death, I mean, that destroyed a lot of people, and it really hurt me a lot to see somebody that's that valuable for Earth. Man, he's inspiring everybody, from an engineer.
Exactly.
And, you know, him and his daughter. Yes. And when you know about his daughter, it becomes even worse. And you're like, life is so short to tell some. And I saw Shaq, they put a few of the NBA players after the death, and they were talking. And then Shaq, I think, he's like, you know what, guys, every time I'll see you, I'll tell you how much I love you. Because you never know.
Right.
To show love to people that you actually care about.
Hey, life is a crazy thing. I must say that, you know.
I'll ask you something. I read what I found very dark. I really didn't like it. And I'm sure you didn't, but you handled it apparently well. That the fans of opposing team wrote 5,000 followers, but still no dad.
Oh man, that's that's not
that's so evil. Like, why would you say that?
Right, but that's but
you know like, what? Why is it you? Because everybody has a single parent, right. But why are they making that a point with you? They know it's a soft spot, or
no. Because I think obviously I'm one of the key players of the team, so they always go for the key player.
It's a cheap shot, man.
But it's easy to brush that off. Like, what? I wasn't. I think they were jealous. They want to have a player like me on their team.
Yeah, then and we are rivals. They will love you.
So
yeah,
you will expect any type of thing from fans. You know, some fans are very savage. Like football fans.
Yeah,
they have no mercy.
Bro, even kids. I'll tell you a story. So my son, my son came to me last month, and he was sad. So my ex called me, and she's like, "This happened in school. I think you should talk to your son, Majid." Like, okay. So I'm like, what happened? And she goes, this kid goes to him in school and he says something like they were having an argument. And he's like, well, at least my father lives with me. Things, and my son is 10. Like,
things like
who's this piece of shit that thinks like that? Or which house does he come from to think like that, you know? No. And then I had to talk to my son very openly. And I'm like, Baba, some people are together, but they're miserable. It has nothing to do with happiness. Some people are married in one house and they have a messed up house. Mm-hmm. Some people are together and happy. Some people are divorced and happy. I have to have a very open... But you know, to think that people can come up with really cheap shots.
It's I think probably the kids. It's not the kids, but the people they're around. You know, because I don't think a kid will actually meant to say that. I don't think if it's... You know, kids are normally pure. But they get created by the environment, so, you know.
That's true.
But I think it's a good idea, or good from you to communicate open, because it's a hard world, and the younger they know, they will get strong, trust me.
Where's your circle?
Small circle.
So it's, yeah, that's something I noticed before I saw the video that Iman sent me. So.
Yeah.
I noticed that you talked about the small circuit represents your small clique, right? Your group of friends, or
yeah, like our circle is quite small. Like I know a lot of people, but the inner circle is very tight.
And I noticed that before reading that, because when we met, I noticed we had Ras, I think, and he's like he's your friend from a long time. I think your boy here, he's also
Tufan and Gigi, the one with the beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. They actually, I know Tufan since I'm 12.
Okay.
And then Gigi, I know him since I'm 4. Ross, I know now for 2 years, so not that long. But he, you know, for me, it doesn't matter if I know you 12 years or 3 years.
Minutes, yeah.
I can love you as much as my boy that I know back in the days. It depends, you know. But Ross, I know, and music, it speaks through itself. We create a lot of beautiful music.
People I felt, here. But I can feel like you're very true to your friends, the ones that enter the circle.
Yeah.
But I think it's very difficult to enter the circle.
At this point, yes. Also, again, like me growing up, becoming like that, you know, guy that shows love, you know, a lot of people take advantage of it. You know, you become a football player at the age of 16, you sign your contract.
Everybody wants money or help.
Everybody wants to have... I found a lot of people that want to, or they lose their, you know, their life and are trying to become me, or trying to be, like, have the life that I live. Like, I don't know if you want that. It's cool, but a lot of sacrifices being made. Only the thing... Don't lose your own life, and it's maybe hard. Like Gigi, for example, I know him since I'm 4. We moved to Manchester United. I said, look, bro, listen, I know you, man. Come live with me. You know how hard it is for him, or it wasn't hard for him because he had the qualities that he still focused. Like, yo, this is not my lifestyle. Like, I don't work for this or this. He still, now he got his own fashion brand.
Nice.
You know, and... You have to say to yourself, like, I want to become something. I got to work for it. And people start to get lost when they see luxury things, or it doesn't even make sense, like materialistic things. So I had to kick a few people out down the road, and some people really took advantage of my personality as a, even recently, like, so that's, it becomes harder and harder, and it's not necessary no more to be in my, you know, tight circle no more for me. Like, if it happens, it happens, but my boys around me, they will definitely have a bird view on you, like, when you're trying to enter, like, what's, you know.
What's the motive?
Yeah, what are you trying to do? Like, you know, it's
so it's hard. Very hard for you to trust.
It is. And it's not that I go with that mindset into a conversation or into a, you know.
Friendship,
no. But I'll be careful because, you know, a heart can only take that much punches or damages. Like, you don't want to push that button where I become the old Memphis no more. I don't want that for myself.
Hmm. You keep referring to yourself as a lion. Why?
I think one of the points that we touched, like you said it yourself, that household over there was a jungle. You know, being in the streets, you don't have to be, I'm not putting this image of me being a gangster because I'm not. But being outside, being with guys, you know, that are doing wrong stuff, being in dangerous situations where you can either lose your life or be hurt, like, it's you have to survive. It's a jungle sometimes. People are really reckless.
Mm.
And I feel like I've been raised in the jungle, but I became a lion, you know? A lion doesn't have to always play with the hyenas, you know? He can just chill.
Mm. They are very chilled animals still.
Yeah, but wake them up,
king.
You know?
They're the king of the jungle.
You know, and it's like, yeah, you have to appreciate yourself. I start to appreciate myself again. I didn't for a long time. For the longest time, I didn't. So now I feel like I'm not the royal. My family is not royal, but I feel like royalty. You know, like I'm happy with myself, who I became. And that way you can also give people love. You like really like. That's how you ask me: are you good or are you? How are you really? Like you can really help somebody.
Yeah.
You know, not with the money or with the conversation.
Yeah.
With very helping him in going direction, and at the age I just turned 26, like I'm happy with that. So that's why I tethered the lion, and you know the Lion King, obviously my favorite movie. Yeah, so yeah. It connected with me very powerful.
Nice. I wanted to ask you about what was it? I had an interesting point I wanted to ask you. No, the whole thing is interesting though. I don't know. It skipped my mind.
No problem. We'll come back.
It will come back. Tell me, what are you afraid of?
Good question. I fear God. I'm not of a lot of things afraid. That's probably the only thing. Like, I'm trying to just grow as a human. That's it. You know, afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm the guy that always jump out of my comfort zone, you know, with the things that I love, and sometimes I have to do things I don't like, but no. Why, like, and afraid is not a bad thing or
no.
Something.
A bit of fear is healthy. If you're not afraid, you'll be reckless, you jump in the highway and you die, you know. You have
exactly.
To have a bit of it.
But you can...
But some of them get paralyzed, so some people are too afraid of doing anything, they never even make an action.
Right.
And then there are people that are not very afraid at all, which is reckless. So you need.
I think I'm not reckless, but I'm just
Before that.
Yeah, I don't know what we call that. You know, because...
I remembered what I wanted to ask you. You see, it came back.
I told you.
You get this... To be very honest with you, even before we ever met, somebody asked me about you, and I'm like, I don't know the guy. But I know that there's a perception of him, that he's a typical footballer, he's bling, he likes to show off his brands and his cars, a private jet or whatever. So, but I don't know the person personally. And then I met another guy who we met recently, and I'll tell you after the interview, and he had the same perception. And I'm like, is he really that? I can't. I learned in my life, I'm 38 now, so I learned to always see two sides of every story. And then my side, so that's the third side, right? Then what I think. So I don't judge until I meet somebody. So then when I met him, I told you this, I think, on dinner. I'm like, what you put out there can give a very different view of the guy I know. So how do you do that on purpose? Do you like that people think that you're this rapper bling guy? What are you trying to do with all of that?
Oh, man. I'm just enjoying it. Like, I got motivated when I was young. I remember, like, when I was, so I started, before PSV, I started another club, Sparta, in Rotterdam. And during the, my mother brought me to the training. On the highway, I always pass by, like, this store with beautiful cars. And if you, I'm here in Dubai, I see these cars left, right going.
Yeah.
Right? And I saw the Lambos and that, I don't know, I was a little boy who likes cars and all that stuff, so it motivated me. Oh, how much that cost? I want to buy that. I cannot buy it, you know. Even when I was in the, even when I was in the youth of PSV and with the first team players, they come up with Bentleys, and that inspired me. That was just one thing that, I want to have a nice car or a nice house. Or so once I got that, it's just how I live. You know, I don't, as I don't hide my flaws and my scars, I don't hide what I deserve and what I work for. Like, it's not to put it in your face or show off, but it's, I would take it as motivation, but I know a lot of people don't. But that's their opinion, and, you know, until we meet, you can have the perception of me.
I think that's why for me this interview is also important, because it shows your mind, which I think you have a good mind, you know?
I mean, I always learn to never judge, you know, because you will be judged one day. So
I think you made a very good point, because you know, when you do something really good, everybody's like, no, don't tell them, they'll be upset. Or like, let's say, you know, when you have a friend who's like, he loves but hates you, or he's jealous. So somebody like, don't tell him you just won the blah, 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 because it's going to make him insecure. Like,
I don't have those friends.
Yeah, I don't either. No. I don't, because I actually had lunch
but
today.
Some people have those.
I had lunch today with a friend of mine, and I was telling her, and I'm like, do you know the type that they love you but hate you? She's like, explain more. I'm like, it's kind of like you said, let's say you won the league. And you're like, we won the league. And then you have a friend who'll be like more happy than you. And you're like, wow, he loves me so much that it's like he won.
Yes.
But then you have the friend who goes like, oh, you won the best
amazing
player.
Okay. Yeah.
And you're you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
And I don't like, that's a very good filter for me to know that that's not a good person for me.
I wish.
And you shouldn't feel shy to celebrate your wins. You should never feel that way.
And even like, you know, in the competition that we are, like, we play in a team sport, but there you have in your team, you have individual prizes as well, top scorer, this or that, you know. When I was younger, I wanted to be the best, the top scorer, the everything, and to win the league, and I gave a lot of assists, but also I want to score a lot of goals. Now I'm like, yo, if you're winning, I'm good. Like, if Neymar scores a goal, I'm happy for the guy. You know, I pray for him. He's one of my friends that I become recently. You know, like Mbappe, the best players. Like, they motivate me. They have to be. They don't have to be older or younger. Doesn't matter. Like, I'm in that league too. I want to win, but at the same time, hey, if you win it, you know, God
bless
you. There's a space
for everyone.
Yes, but also like, I put all different type of stuff on my social media. It's just what I do.
Yeah.
You know, I put also that I'm back in the motherland in Ghana and that I have my own foundation for the deaf and blind children. Like, I don't have to do that, but I try to encourage other athletes, you know, to do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Why you, okay, that's cool that you do that, but why you have to show that? Like, if you don't, like, bro, if I show that, probably some other people will do the same. Influence in a good way. And I tell kids not to buy jewelry or expensive cars, but hey, if you want to, who's going to decide for you? And I also like simple things. You know? Go, let's have a picnic in the park. Hey, I'm down, up for it.
Yeah.
You know, so, but that's only when you get to know me. And I found out maybe I'm not that guy that not everybody deserves to get to know my, and like, you know what I mean? Like,
I know what you mean.
I try to show people, but if they don't, not everybody can see.
Some people never see, but it's also our responsibility as people with influence.
Yeah. I try to explain.
Not explain, I think. I think also explain is a tricky word because you don't owe anybody explanation. However,
that's the balance.
However, if you have the platform, like your social media or your football, it's your responsibility, like you said, taking care of kids in Ghana or talking about mental health or talking about a good lifestyle with good cars, good house. It's everything. It's a human, right? It's a package. Mm. I don't think we should be explaining ourselves, but I think we should always feel responsibility. So that's why with my social media, I try to do good content.
Yeah.
Not only, oh, look at me.
Yeah.
And
you're doing a good job, you know, and that suits your personality.
Exactly,
and
it's
everything.
Me.
Exactly.
One thing I read very cool this week, and the quote said, don't try to be the best, be the best version of you.
Yeah.
So it's not I need to be the best here or anywhere. I need to be the best Anas. You need to be the best Memphis. What's the most potential you can do?
Exactly. Yeah. I've learned that through the years. You're not going to get that when you're younger because you look up to some people. But now, you know, I know a lot of people in a lot of industries. They motivate me. But they're not my idols or look up to them. Like, I know everybody has their... They have to be the best version of themselves. Me, I have to be the best version of myself. And
correct.
You don't see that when you're young, but once you get older, like I do a lot of stuff that I get judged by media or other athletes, or you know, I feel that like I know a lot of some guys, they don't like me, but they don't even know me. But what they put, you know, what they see me, or I don't know, do they see me as a danger or? Bro,
Maybe intimidated.
I don't know, bro. Let's vibe, man, and then get to know. Oh, you're such a cool guy, bro. Okay, you judge me. It's cool. I can, you know, but I'm happy the way I am, and I don't want to change that because I have to post something else because I'm also the guy who take a lot of bullets. I know athletes who does a lot of things. Like I take the bullets because I come out with it first. And then a year later, it's cool.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Then it's easier for the next
one. Right. I started to make music way before I was 16, I dropped a video clip. But I made music way before because it was in the family. But the coach said in an interview, you have to choose between rap or football because he cannot perform. What he's gonna do if we have a show there and then we have a game there? That's stupid. But obviously the media, you know, hyped it and you know, they criticized me for all the way I dress or whatever. Now I learned like, yo, man, you good. Like, it doesn't affect me. I want people to know that. Like, my social media, bro. Like,
I have a question for you. Then I have a question for you. So if it's a hypothetical question. So if you have enough money for 500 years, ahead. Mm-hmm. So you're good. But there's one condition. And the condition is you have to choose a job.
What Wait. Job? I have, okay.
Yeah, that's the question. You have enough money for 500 deals, but the condition is you have to choose a job for the rest of your life to get that.
Obviously, you know, I cannot play football, so I cannot say that, right? I will choose football.
Yeah. So it's your main, it's not a money-driven thing, it's...
No, man.
It's passion.
My mom let me play ball, like, since I'm 2 years, in the house, inside. Like, she invested in me, she gave me the, you know, she broke her back, like, gave me the best football shoes. I was crying for the best football shoes. Oh, you know, Ronaldo has the shoes, or Ronaldinho, like, she gave me the best shoes. And I'm glad, you know, that I can give everything back, but football is my main thing. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like, I don't watch all the games. During the years, football became also like a sport more tactical, and everything get zoomed in, and we have the VAR now, and they talk so much around it, and like, football was back in the days more pure.
Simple, yeah.
You know, but you know, that's the main thing I love the most. But I'm not gonna lie, hey, I focus on more things. I'm a human being, and what makes me happy is making music. So if I be happy, I perform better in the pitch. So why not making music feel great and perform?
Absolutely. But I talked a lot about this, that it's very sad that in life they make us human beings as if we're one trick ponies. But a human being, a doctor can be a violin player, right? Why not? But everybody's like, you're a doctor. No, he's a doctor, but he loves to play the violin. He's a painter and an engineer.
Trying to put you in a box.
In a box, yeah.
This bug is annoying me.
Yeah, this bug has been like, trespassing.
We need to attack it. He's going to die soon.
Okay, last few questions. So tell me the best moment in your life so far.
Man, you got hard questions, good but hard questions. The best moment in my life so far. I think giving back to my mom what she gave to me, you know, all her energy, her love, caring, everything. I could give it back, and still I cannot give it back fully because she just left Dubai. She came here for a couple of days, and you know, she's around me, but she sees her son working, being exhausted at night. Like, I still cannot give everything that she gave me, but I try to. You know, I gave her, you know, whatever she needs.
Hmm. Did you get it?
No, man.
Fuck. We need to get it, man. That's our hunt today in the interview. Okay.
That was a good question, though.
Worst moment in your life?
I would say, I think my granddad, when he died, it's 11 years ago now. Mm. He died one day after my birthday. I wish I could, you know, because he was such a football lover. I wish he could see me on the television. The way I watched his games with me together.
Yeah.
I wish I could make him proud with, like, being on television and actually coming to the stadium, because my grandma is still alive and she comes. But it was his time to go.
Hmm. You have any regrets?
No, because I believe that a person should make mistakes to grow in life. I believe that the mistakes that I made, and I made a lot, and I'm still making them, but it really shapes me into a better human being. And so I don't regret, you know, making the mistakes that I made. That's my way of looking at this life. Like, I got him.
He did?
I got him.
Shit, let's see. Need, get us a tissue. We need.
I got a tissue as well. I was all prepared for this. Come on.
You were waiting.
I was prepared for this. I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He cleaned it up. Nice one. So your reflexes are really good. Okay. So you told me the regrets is done, that your mistakes, you're still doing them, and that's how you learn and grow, which I agree. And you took your time in answering that, which I think is good because you really assessed it.
Yeah, because some things are not nice, you know. Some mistakes you can make that hurts other people. That's not something you want to do. But if it's not in a way where there's like a detrimental case, it will become better, like you will grow. Like the scars I have, it made me grow. Or the scars I'm not gonna sit up here and say, oh, I'm the only person that been damaged. A damaged person, people. And it's maybe hard to see it, but in a certain way, it would help them. It helped them to become stronger or to become better. And I was also just in survival mode. Like, I just came out of it, but sometimes, you know, what I say, like, I'm chill. You be around me, I'm fine. But if I get in survival mode, you will see a different me. But that's just necessary in this world we live in sometimes.
Last one, my friend. Memphis in one word.
You should say that, man. I don't know. I have two. Interesting. Pure.
Which one would you choose above?
I think pure. I go with pure.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.